live from Latex. If you can hear the sound of my voice right now, you are tuning in to the Man to Man podcast. I'm Looney Tune.
Yo, this Rob Lowe.
And this is Man to Man podcast, something that me and Rob decided to start.
Well, really, you decided to start it, and I just decided to just help you out with it.
Well, I mean, that's us. It's a team effort. I couldn't have did it without you. You wouldn't have did it without me. So it's something that we decided to do together, a little joint venture, some content that we own that we can put out and that we, you know, as black men, as black people in media, we can, you know, support our own and support each other. And this definitely going to be the platform for that. It's the Man to Man podcast. That's all I'm going to say. It's the Man to Man podcast. You want to tell the people a little bit about yourself, Rob?
I'm not about to do this again with you.
Man, do you tell the people about yourself? Tell the people who you are.
My name Bob. Spell it backwards, and it's still Bob. And that's it.
Nigga, asshole. All right, so I'm going to give the people the proper respect. My name is Looney Tune. I am a broadcaster. I'm from Louisiana, based out in Dallas. Working very hard, and everything's going pretty great. My hard work is paying off, and I mean, I'm just trying to get the people the best content that I can give. Download the Looney Tune app today. Download that.
Yes, sir. Go get that.
You got anything coming up, Rob? Any dates?
Man, usual. My spot at Bulldog's Pool Bar and Hall in Ruston, Louisiana, Saturday night. Good vibes only.
That's every Saturday?
Every other Saturday. Oh, okay. You know, guy be trying to save money. Can't afford me every week. We can also go to Block Party each and every Friday, 7 p.m. on GoDJRadio.net.
There you go. Plug that shit. There you go.
Of course. Oh, and y'all can follow me. Hit me up, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, anything. At Go DJ Rob Lowe.
Yes, and I'm on everything.
G O D J R O B L O. You know, for you know, some people who are not that good at spelling like me.
And you can find me on everything, all social media at Ratchet Tune, RatchetTone. It's two T's in there. It's two T's, people. So RIP Charlie Murphy.
Of course, rest in peace, Charlie Murphy, man. I need people to understand that
he's Charlie not Murphy, just Eddie Murphy's brother.
He didn't get popular from Dave Chappelle. He was actually in stuff way before Dave Chappelle.
He was, and you know what's dope about Charlie Murphy? You know what's really dope about Charlie Murphy?
Well, he actually helped his brother write. He gave his brother majority of his ideas for stuff. He wrote movies.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he was funny in his own way, but once again
he was naturally funny.
Yeah, but then once again, you know, it's always two people in the family that's funny. It's probably like for me, it's my little sister and me. Mm-hmm. My little sister is funnier than me. People say I'm funny, but my little sister is way more funnier than me. But the problem is she's not outgoing with it like I am. See, Eddie and Charlie is different. Charlie is just cutthroat funny. He gonna let it be known. Charlie used to buck Eddie up to do stuff Eddie didn't want to do. He listened to his brother, and look at where it got him. So, yes, Charlie Murphy was a genius. They both were geniuses. Charlie Murphy was behind Raw. Charlie Murphy helped Eddie Murphy write his jokes for Raw.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, help with I can't think of it right now. It's on the tip of my tongue. Vampire in Brooklyn. Charlie Murphy wrote that whole movie.
Okay, he rewrote rewrote Paper Soldiers that Kevin Hart was in. He rewrote a lot of stuff. Like people brought him scripts that he rewrote. But like baby girl woke up.
Yeah, I'm trying to give her a pacifier. I was trying to do it quietly because she finished with the bottle.
Nice,
but I don't know what the hell she did with the pacifier.
Right. But the dope thing about Charlie Murphy, though, to me, in my personal opinion, is that he didn't actually, like, start, like, really getting on and being out there until he was, like, 30. Like, he was old. He was old being new in the game.
What you mean? You talking about to more people?
Yeah, like on a mainstream level, he was old, and that's dope.
You gotta understand. Well, yes, I forgot, because he is older than Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was on SNL at 18, so yeah. But Charlie Murphy been and like Ice Cube said, Ice Cube went to a favor for Charlie Murphy, and Charlie Murphy gave Ice Cube a chance to get into the Players Club. See, people also forgot that he was in the Players Club.
Yeah. Now, he was definitely in there.
Like, once again, he had roles. He been in stuff. Now, granted, Sketch come to find out that sketch comedy was really just his stuff. Nobody knew that. Sketch comedy was really his stuff. They asked Dave, who is funny on the set? And he said, Charlie Murphy. Don't nobody know it, but Charlie Murphy have all of us crying every time.
That's what started the stories.
Well, he been had his stories.
No, I'm saying, he always told stories. I'm talking about on the Chappelle Show. That's what started that. It was just like, look, he always telling stories. He have us busting up laughing. We got to make this a sketch.
Right. And literally, and nobody never wanted to believe it. But nah, it was true.
Man.
It was true.
Charlie Murphy changed lives, man. From what I'm hearing, like, everybody's having a Charlie Murphy story. Charlie Murphy changed lives, man.
Yes, he did.
Charlie Murphy changed lives. He put people on. Like, he helped. He cared. He fucked with the young guys. Like
a lot of people come to find, a lot of people wasn't trying to much give Ice Cube a chance with getting in movies. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know other people going to be like, man, but who was Charlie Murphy? Charlie Murphy still, at the end of the day, still had some clout in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Still had, you know, some stuff. You know, he still had, like, a nice little, he still had, you know, some little clout, as I would say. He actually had that. And for you to, for Ice Cube and the movie that he was known for in Friday as a director, you know, you kind of like, you know, I don't want to be associated with this. You know, we just going to be honest with this. Basically, what America called it, nigga movie. Mm-hmm. You know, this ghetto movie, you know what I'm saying? So, for him to actually give Ice Cube a chance on the Players Club, man, that says a lot. Because the Players Club also changed a lot for some people.
Yeah, man.
The show did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I ain't gonna lie, Charlie Murphy, one of them people that I wish I could have met. He just seemed just like a real nigga, you know?
Of course, very real. Realest nigga moment I ever saw Charlie Murphy do was when Gremlin booed him. And he said,
fuck out and ripped up the check.
No, he didn't rip up the check.
He ripped up the check. He and ripped up the check in front of everybody.
And that nigga just sat there.
Man, yes. Charlie Murphy is a real, not even a real nigga. He is a real nigga.
Of course, very real. Very real. Now I also blame Gremlin for that any goddamn way. That was they stupid folk.
That's pretty foul.
It was. They should have known what they
see. But Charlie this the thing.
Charlie Murphy is more for people my age. Like, he's telling jokes about drugs that these young kids don't know about. I know stuff about crackheads and acid and all this other stuff. They don't know nothing about that. Oh, that was Gremlin doing. That was their wrongdoing. You gotta do your research on comedians before you hire them, especially for what you're trying to give them for. Charlie Murphy is not for college kids.
No,
he's like
not.
For alumni.
Yeah. This is the thing about that though too. It's like with Charlie Murphy, either they gonna fuck with him or they not. Like, I don't even think he had a chance, because I wasn't there. I don't even think he even had a chance to, like, really even get into a joke or anything before they even just start. Like, they wasn't fucking with him from the jump, from the get-go.
Nah, they wasn't, because they didn't know nothing about him. That was the whole problem. That's why I say, see, they ain't know nothing about him. So, see, when they brought D-Ray Davis, you know, they already knew. You know, they already know about D-Ray.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we seen him on this and this and yada, yada. See, they already knew that. See, people didn't know nothing about Charlie Murphy because...
Mm-hmm. It's because he's light-skinned with green eyes.
Nah, I give D-Ray his credit. My boy D-Ray is funny.
D-Ray funny, but...
But I mean, D-Ray is just
You see how they treat the light skinned fellow? Cause they got like they got the same kind of brand of comedy. You see how they treat the light skinned fellow?
As many times D-Ray done cuss a motherfucker out like Charlie Murphy done did. So yeah, okay. What? I remember I heard stories of Ricky Smiley getting booed.
Wow.
Ricky Smiley. You know, he was young going, you know, he was young in the college ranks of being a comedian and all this. Before he made it to BET Comic View, Ricky Smiley got booed coming to Grambling.
Wow.
Yes, G. It's, as a comedian, you're going to have your hard times.
Oh, yeah, of course.
As an entertainer, you're going to have your hard times. Because many a times as a DJ, I'm just like, bro, what am I doing wrong? And then coming to find out, they just like, nah, it really ain't nothing to deal with.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with you.
It do, but then it don't. Like, what you're doing as a DJ, you're playing the right music. You're doing everything right. The problem is, they just don't fuck with you.
Yeah, the crowd just not fucking with you. No, I definitely get that.
And you just be like, what you mean? Like, they don't know you. So that's why they really like not dancing, because they don't know you. And I'm like, oh, so what is this, a popularity contest? Yeah, basically. It's kind of like being an entertainer. Sometimes it's a popularity contest and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, like, nowadays, it's like now your good work is going unnoticed because people, it's more of, you know, like, you know, do they know you? If they don't know you, then basically they don't care about nothing that you have to say or what you're doing as an entertainer. It's just going to just be like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, okay.
These are not lies.
Right. So,
these are not lies.
Right, it's like, think about it. All right, man, I heard Bernie Mac. You seen Bernie Mac's most famous moment on HBO. Well, what he did, as soon as he walked out there, he cussed out the whole crowd.
Yeah, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
Shit, y'all can boo that motherfucker. You ain't booing me. Shit, even Marlon Lawrence had to tell Bernie Mac, like, man, it's a tough crowd. They ain't laughing for nobody. Oh, okay.
All right, bet.
Okay, I got something for y'all. We gonna get something clear cut and understood right now. But man. Yes, Charlie Murphy. People only know him as Eddie Murphy brother and not Charlie Murphy, which I hate that though.
I mean, but you knew. It's understandable. We know that that's gonna happen.
No, but
we know that
I ain't talking
happen.
About just that. I'm not talking about just that situation, but I just mean like that, like branch off that situation to other situations, like Natalie Cole. Like, they call her
Nat King Cole's daughter.
Like, mm-hmm. Natalie Cole didn't have her long, you know, her long good run in music. Like, she didn't win Grammys and all this other stuff in music. Like, they only downsized her to being such and such son. And then you just kind of like, dude, this woman had her own identity and did her own thing in music. Like, it wasn't like she was just, like, some unheard-of person that was always seen in pictures. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? It's like...
No, I definitely... Yeah. But, see, the problem is we like to compare too much. We like to compare people too much. We like to, put this person against this person or put this person next to this person.
It depends on who they talking about.
No, and it's not too many situations where it's not a we're gonna relate this to this. It's never like, oh, this gonna stand alone, like, unless it truly stands alone, but it's always gonna be a, oh, well, we know this, so this is a subsection of this, when it's a completely different thing.
So why did the media start separating the Kardashian and Jenner kid separately?
Do they?
Instead of
do that?
Yes. Why they don't call them Kim Kardashian's sister no more? Because the media started calling them their own little names and all this other stuff.
They all Kardashians. All the Jenners, they're all Kardashians.
But do they go, listen to what I just say, but do they go by Kim's sister? No, they don't. They don't do that no more because the media stopped doing that. Listen to what I'm telling you. No, pay attention to stuff.
Okay, I get that, but that's the same as Charlie Murphy, like, to date. Like, even before death, Charlie Murphy isn't Eddie Murphy's brother. You know, after he got his claim to fame and, you know, stepped out of that, they have to break out of that. But at the same time,
that's what I'm saying. Kept calling him.
No, it got to a point they didn't call. He was Charlie Murphy. But I'm saying, if he would have came out the gate not being Eddie Murphy's brother, if he came out the gate and we were able to separate the two. And say, this is Eddie Murphy, this is Charlie Murphy. They're brothers, but they're separate. Just like this is a Kardashian, this is a Jenner. They're separate. Like, it took a lot for Kylie. Like, Kylie Jenner had to fuck a lot of rappers to not be Kim's little sister. And Kendall had to ignore all the Kardashian bullshit to be Kendall Jenner.
So what you're trying to say is, in between that time of her fucking another one ignoring and Khloé off being stank pussy and all this, that the media did not stop calling them Kim.
I didn't say they didn't stop. I'm saying we have a
media. You missing my whole point. We are fed. That is basically how this world has been operating from the get-go, from religion to radio news, to newspapers, to what the fuck that they show us on TV and what they allow us to hear. We go by what the government what media tells us. Now, either government propaganda or regular propaganda, that's what we go by. When Kim first got famous, nobody knew nothing about Kim. Nobody knew nothing about Kim. Okay, cool. She had the little thing with Ray J, yada, yada, yada. So then, boom. Oh, yeah, Kim Kardashian, the daddy who was on OJ's thing. That was their name. Mama got mad. I don't like that. Okay, cool. So then the rest, everybody else in that family was known as such and such to Kim Kardashian. But if you pay attention to the media, they stopped doing that.
That's what I just said.
I say the media. The media stopped calling them that.
I agree with you.
That to Charlie?
They did.
They couldn't. No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Trust me, no, they didn't. They didn't stop.
They did. After the sketch on Chappelle's show, like, he was officially Charlie Murphy, separate of Eddie Murphy.
He was separate of Eddie Murphy from the get-go.
No, he was Eddie Murphy's brother. From the jump, he was Eddie Murphy's brother. Of course he's still Eddie Murphy's brother, but he broke out of that title, is what I'm saying. Just like the Kardashian Jenner, they broke out of that title.
They didn't break out of no title.
Rob, what are you saying? Cause you're going back and forth. What are you saying, Rob? No, tell me your point. Cause you're going back and forth now.
What title did they break out of?
They broke out of Kim Little Sister title. They broke out of the Kim Kardashian sister title, and now it's their own. Whoever they are, they're their own person.
So how did they break out of Kim's Little Sister title?
They just came.
What did they do? What did they do? They didn't do nothing to break out of Kim's title. I'm telling you, the media stopped calling them Kim's sister.
Because they became more famous. Because they developed their own independence. Because they showed their individuality. The same as Charlie Murphy.
Natalie Cole and Charlie Murphy did the same thing, but yet they still get called Nat King Cole's daughter or Eddie Murphy's brother. Why they didn't get their own identity, even though that they branched off and made their own stardom on their own?
Natalie is a different story. She never was able to break out of that, and that's what helped. That's what kind
of. You mean she didn't break out of it? She wasn't singing with her daddy. They wasn't no group. They didn't get a reality TV show together. That woman was her own independent singer and made fame using her voice, not her daddy voice.
Yeah,
her voice.
Yeah, well, exactly. Granted, exactly.
Well, yeah,
you're
right.
It was
the daddy voice because it's the daddy gene. So yeah, okay, yeah, I can see it being the daddy voice. But still, I'm saying.
But the fact of the matter is, she wasn't able to break out of that. She wasn't able to break out of that title.
Okay, only way you don't break out. So you can't break out of a title.
All I'm saying is the problem is we put people in a title too much. We attach people to other things too much. When she came out, she was her own artist. We attached her to somebody else.
We do that. We allow the media to do that to us.
Rob, I just said that. And all I'm saying is,
I'm blaming the media. I ain't blaming us.
I'm saying, well, it's us too. It's everybody.
If we stop taking the bullshit that the media give us.
I mean, at this point, we are the media.
Yeah.
If I log on Twitter, I'm the media.
Yeah, until somebody else pick up on it, and then they gonna use it as their own. Hey, I'm sorry, we're such and such from this company. Can we use your photo for whatever? No, motherfucker, you get your ass out here in these goddamn streets and go do some damn hustling. Y'all wanna sit your ass on social media, wait till something get a couple of likes, and then y'all won't use it and take a story and run with the story. No, that's happening too many days now with time. Somebody done took somebody else's story and done tried to turn it into their own.
That's what I mean, though. We're the media. We are the media. We're doing that. Me and you. Me and you. Your Black next door folks. Neighbor. Whoever.
Black folks.
I mean, shit. We the strongest form of it, but we all Black are. Folk. We're the strongest form of it, but we all are. Speaking of media, you saw Tiger all over Twitter.
Oh, Tiger being Tiger.
We need to attach Tiger to something or somebody so he can go ahead and fade the fuck away. Cause he getting out of control. He's out of control right now.
I can't even fault that man, though. Like, I really can't. Like, I really can't even fault that man. Like, that man, like, if you, like, I be trying to tell people, if a lot of y'all get into these messed up music situations, like, dog, what's the whole point after a while? Like, that man got screwed out of so much money.
Tiger living life right now, man. Tiger say fuck everybody. He living life right now.
And you want to know who else living life?
Who that?
Everybody should remember this whole situation of Hurt Bay.
Oh, man. She living life right now.
Yeah, because her and old boy were seen together again.
They back together.
Yeah, that's why it's so funny. Say she pulled a Beyonce on the whole world. On the whole social media, they done had her on Michael Smith, down on Michael and Jamel show His and Hers.
Podcast. She was on His and Hers?
She had her on His and Hers. They had her on God knows what kind of TV shows and all this stuff during interviews. And the whole time, she pulled a Beyonce. Ladies, leave y'all men. He ain't nothing. You don't have to settle and this, yada yada yada. Because you know, every time Beyonce come out with an album or a song,
that's the temperature of the women.
Old girl, go to Beyonce. Done did a whole interview, a whole video. Now you see the reason why that man's face was just like, why the fuck are we doing this again?
Nah, on the cool. I remember we talked about this before, and I said she's 35. Beyonce's 35. And Jay-Z's 47.
So 12 years.
Wow. I said that last time we talked about that. I told you, the shit cool. I need a Hurt Bay in my life. Move so I can cheat in private. Let me cheat in peace. And then we're going
to find out about it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Get out of here. He told her to leave. Get out of here so I can cheat in peace. And then we're going to talk about this later. We're going to make some videos. We're going to go viral. And then we're going to go, you know, we're going to lay up later. I'm going to see you later. Let me cheat in peace.
That's not cheating if y'all broke up.
Let me cheat in peace.
It was just funny, though. Like, she pulled the scam on everybody and got away with it. And everybody was rooting for her to move on. It's so great that you so strong that you was able to move on from a no good man and yada yada yada.
Who was rooting for?
A lot of people was rooting for. A lot of females was rooting for.
Man.
Well, you know, dudes are gonna find their opportunity to shoot their shot. They don't care.
Oh yeah, they gonna jump in them DMs.
They really don't care. And the sad thing is, it could be some of their dude partners up there sliding up in there.
Man. Hurt Bay. I need me a Hurt Bay. Anybody listening, if there's any Hurt Bays out there, listen here, I won't hurt you. Just let me cheat in peace.
Can somebody get this boy?
Did you get a chance to check out Kendrick Lamar's new album?
What kind of question is that?
I don't know. Everybody don't consume music the same way. Some people are a little slower. It just dropped.
You right. See, a quality person like Kendrick, to me, mm-hmm. Yes, I checked it out on my way back from New Orleans for Easter weekend. Listened to the whole album twice.
Okay.
So, yes, I liked it. Digged it as well, as usual.
I want to say he was number one in streams. Number one selling artist first week. So, he beat out Drake?
What you mean?
He beat out Drake, right? Didn't Drake have, like, the number one, like, when he had, like, the biggest number of streams, and then Kendrick just destroyed that, or am I misinterpreting that?
I really don't know. Probably sales. He probably got the most sales, but I don't know about streams. Okay. I give the little light bright bitch his credit, and he do stream a lot of music.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
Man, people love that shit, man. People love that emotional shit, man. People love that emotional shit. For real, people love that emotional shit. If it's got some emotions tied up in it, number one, you're going to get all the ladies. You're going to get all the ladies' attention. And then ladies are, and excuse me, I'm a little below the weather, underneath the weather. How does it, under the weather. I'm under the weather right now. I'm sick, people. My nose stopped up and I'm coughing heavy. But, I mean, shucks, if you get, you know, women on your team.
Hairball.
Women got the, you know, they loyal. They gonna be they stick through it, you know.
You so is right, cause I stopped being a big Drake fan a couple years ago. So yeah, you are right.
Well, of course I'm right, Rob.
Well, just about that part. That's part about it.
But you got any favorite songs in that joint?
Loyalty.
Loyalty is dope.
With him and Rihanna.
Rihanna, Loyalty is dope.
I don't know. It seems like, how can I say this? Like Rihanna, when another artist does work with Rihanna, I don't know. It seems like it adds more to the song.
Yeah.
And not too many people can actually do that.
Yeah, Rihanna has been one of those people that like adds like some kind of essence. You know what I mean?
Of course, the second single, DNA.
DNA, just, yep.
Once that just comes on, it just, I don't know, it's just like, it's, I don't know, bro. It's, I don't even know how to say it. It's
next level. Did you see the video?
Of course, Don Cheadle. Like people say, how did Don Cheadle rap the whole first verse? And you got other people who still don't know it, who done listened to it a whole lot. But, hey, that's the thing about being an actor. Yep. Yes, that was real great. You pulled a Don Cheadle out of your ass for a video. I like it.
It was dope. The concept was dope.
Very much so. The whole... Seen an interview that he had with a guy who was explaining about To Pimp a Butterfly and Damn. Mm. To Pimp a Butterfly is to spark change in your life, mm-hmm. to spark change, you know, in the world. Mm-hmm. Damn is the result of that change that happened. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like basically you waking up and now you're starting to realize and you're starting to see stuff for what it is, which I can kind of see that, where he went at with it.
See, everybody keeps forgetting about that middle album, though. Which was the start, like the actual, like hit, like it was a message, like that middle album, the Untitled Unmastered, where he was like a message, like this, you know what I'm saying, this is a thing, this is gonna happen, this is happening, this is a problem, this is a solution. No one talks about that middle album. It doesn't get the respect that it deserves.
Well, really, quite frankly, nobody much talks about the first album, if we want to be honest.
You don't think so? I mean, at this point,
not a lot of people talk about Section 80. Nobody.
Was it an album? Section 80 was an album? Okay.
Section 80 was his first album.
I didn't know that. I thought Section 80 was like a EP mixtape kind of thing.
Nope. Good Kid, Mad City was the second one.
I didn't know that. I thought Good Kid, Mad City was the debut.
No, the debut to the world, Craig.
Ah.
To the world.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. You know. See, I've been on Kendrick since the Kendrick Lamar EP, or was it Kendrick Lamar LP? I've been on Kendrick since he first changed his name from K-Dot. So, you know, it's kind of hard for me to tell what's exactly an album and, you know, what was his debut, because I just been on for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, especially nowadays, how things operate.
Yeah, how everything comes out and it's just, the lines are blurred.
Yeah, because somebody literally told me that Drake's first album was, what was that little five-song EP?
It was. That was his first album.
No, it wasn't. That still was a mixtape.
No, it was a mixtape. He took off the songs that he couldn't get the samples cleared for, and the other ones he put them out for sale. Once it go out for sale, it's an album. Or I mean, I guess if you want to call it an EP, I guess you can call it an EP.
I just did. I called it an EP,
but an EP is an album. It's a short album.
Short album. Okay, yeah, short album. Yeah, that bullshit. Still doesn't compare to that other one that he came out with.
What was it?
The one that he came out with a year later.
Thank Me Later?
Yeah, that shit.
Yeah, that one.
I don't know. I lost track after Drake album, so I don't, we don't not really discuss this.
You know what's crazy? You know what I just thought about? Through this conversation, we talked about two artists. Is that where our heads are right now? Is that what matters? Are they the leaders of what's going on?
Well, of course,
Kendrick and Drake.
Because that's what people is pushing nowadays. You have two different styles of music.
So is it this or that? Like what about the J. Cole's or the Meek Mills or shucks, who else is in the new school lane? The Travis Scott.
Travis Scott is more, I don't know, it's like nowadays people are literally trying to make it black and white.
Yeah, but
the white side you have your more commercial people, and the black side you have your more lyricists, as in like a J. Cole and a Kendrick, whose songs typically really ain't gonna get played in a club or a party, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? You know, while over here, you know, more of the radio play, you know, certain songs can get played. You know, I can drop Drake's Fake Love, I can drop a couple other little songs in a party, you know, and it will go. I can't do that with Humble, you know, or DNA, you know, I can't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, not for your typical everyday turn up parties. You get what I'm saying?
Like, I really can't do that. House party type joint.
Yeah, so I can't do that. So that's basically how majority of the people is treating hip hop right now. You have the white side, which is, you know, more commercial, more stuff that people want to hear in parties and stuff that doesn't make people think. Then you have J. Cole and Kendrick, you know, who people say is boring. Hmm. So that's the reason why. And they say, you know, the person who leads the black side is Kendrick, and the person who leads the white side is Aubrey.
Oh! So
that's how they do it. Oh. That's how they do it. But for real, like, if you look at it, pay attention. This is literally everything that I have seen all day on social media has been, man, once Damn dropped, it's a little video they put, what you call that? The Matrix. Mm-hmm. So Neo, they had Kendrick, and the rest of the little other people was Drake, and Kendrick was beating them up. And it's like, damn, why every time something happened, you know, it's always a comparison. You always got to find somebody to compare it to.
Yeah,
and you can't compare somebody to the same person.
Yeah, it's just weird that it's either Drake or Kendrick. It's no one else. Like, why is no one else in that conversation? Why is the conversation Drake or Kendrick? Not even intentionally. It's Drake, Kendrick.
Learn because I don't know,
like,
because that's
J. Cole, that's Big want. Sean, like, there's so many other people.
You have some, because you have majority of the people who's gonna say Drake is the best, then you're gonna have the people who don't agree with you
that say Kendrick is the best.
Okay, so basically, that's gonna be the top two. It's always a battle of top two that's always going at it. You gotta find something to market. Think about it. East Coast, West Coast beef. Mm. Pac and Biggie. Those are the only two people we was talking about, right?
Mm. Okay.
Then quietly in the South, out of Houston, Louisiana, and Atlanta, you had some dudes making some music. And you want to know why people never did flock to the Southern music? Because New York was on top of their shit. California was on top of their shit with music. That was the reason why nobody didn't give Scarface a chance. Nobody definitely didn't give Outkast. Nobody didn't give nobody a chance back there. You want the East Coast people didn't give nobody a chance because they say, man, there ain't no real hip hop.
Yeah.
And then nowadays, think about it. You got Kendrick, he using his complete West Coast feel. And then you have this immigrant from fucking Toronto. He wants to use everybody feel. So, yes.
How you feel about that?
I fucking hate it. I wish he stopped doing dancehall.
Yeah, that shit.
He's not, like, I can understand you doing something from your era. I mean, from your, you know,
region,
city. Yeah, something like that. Because, you know, it's a lot of Caribbean people in Toronto, which are cool. I can understand that, yada, yada. But that's not him. He's,
yeah, you the hip-hop guy. You can't, you came in proud to be the backpacker.
But, hey, his fans have allowed that.
Hey, you're right.
His fans have allowed that. Like, once you stop supporting people, trust me, they'll get back to their, trust me, they'll wake up and they'll realize once you stop supporting them. Once the record labels start dropping them, trust me, they'll learn. But that's my problem with Drake and Drake fans. They support the bullshit that he's been putting out, and quite frankly, that dancehall shit has to stop. It has to, because you got even dancehall people pissed off behind it.
Yeah, man, it's weird. It's really weird. That's a weird thing.
You're right. That's like somebody from what? You got New Orleans people get pissed off whenever somebody sampling New Orleans beat.
Yeah, like what?
If you ain't from New Orleans, we don't want you sampling the music.
I think the only person that they let slide, because they tried to kill Drake, but I think they let Beyonce slide.
They did kill Drake.
that's what I'm saying, but they let Beyonce slide.
Well, that's because she actually come to New Orleans on a regular, and she actually loved New Orleans.
I feel like I heard she had a crib out there.
Yeah, that's a damn rumor too. I wouldn't know. I don't keep up with personal business. Like
yeah,
that.
Me neither. Speaking of cribs in New Orleans, I was riding down St. Charles like
Monday.
Man, when was this? This was a little while ago with my partner DJ, and we just looking, and it's just like dog. It's just like when you see, you know, like something like that, like all those have like a line of them. And just, like, looking at them, and it's just like, all right, this is what we got to be.
Yep.
This is where we need to be. Like, you seeing, yep, like, mansions, mini mansions, mega mansions, like, all on one street.
Yep. That's old money right there. That's old money right there. That's the beauty part. I be trying to tell people there's more to New Orleans than just downtown.
Yeah, man. I found it by accident. We were just riding around. We were just kicking it, riding around. We were supposed to go to the casino and just ended up on St. Charles and just like looking, just talking shit. Just like that one. You know, like little kids, like when you see like a nice car ride by, you're like, that's my car. We just look that one. No, that mm-hmm. one. No, that mm-hmm. one. Man,
yep.
that's a feeling. And then to see it like at the crib, you know, like to see that in Louisiana where it's like not, you know, we're not the richest.
We ain't the richest because we ain't that much of a big state. But
that's what I'm saying. To see that, though, it's just like, okay, yeah, all right, we can do it. If all this here, we can do it.
Yeah, we can do it. Just businesses don't want to do it in Louisiana. Yeah. Which is why a majority of the people leave.
I think it's the government. The government, it's something with the, you know, funding and all that stuff that they're not distributing the money properly to, you know, for businesses to be able to prosper and for individuals that start businesses to prosper.
Of course. Why would they? That's helping out too many people. But that's a different subject for a different time.
Hey man, let's take a quick break, real quick, man. Get back to the show. We're gonna take a quick break, man.
All right.
Yes. So make sure y'all download the Looney Tune app. You're gonna get this podcast on there. a lot of other content, SoundCloud, like, subscribe, everything like that. And we're going to be right back. All right, so we're back. What you do this week, Rob?
Quite frankly, I had to recover from Easter. Really ain't nothing exciting. You know, the usual work out my clients, get ready to DJ on the weekend. You know, that's really about it, you know. Actually did some good cleaning up. I did late spring cleaning. I did some real late spring cleaning, but I wound up getting it done.
Man, you on after your, all. You on your dad shit, man. You like heavy duty on your dad shit, bro.
Well, yeah, it gotta be, you know.
I commend you on that. You're a real live father. Like, that's some shit to, like, look up to. We the same age, but that's some shit to look up to. You're a real deal father. Like, you know, clean up the crib, and you, like, you know, I'm trying to think of another word, because I was finna say babysit, but you're not babysitting like them. Like, you're raising your children, and doing it, like, you don't, you know what I'm saying, you don't make excuse. Like, you're a real deal pop.
Yeah, gotta be. Can't just sit around and just be a no good person all my life.
I mean, it's not even because you are a no good person, but it's not even like, you know what I'm saying, like no shade to, like, you know what I'm saying, nothing, no knock on any other dads or, you know what I'm saying, fathers or father figures, but you know what I mean, like, everybody don't put in that same work. Everybody's not putting in that father work. Like, they come home and, you know what I'm saying, hug and kiss, and then, you know, go do whatever they do and let the mom take care of everything. But you're a real deal parent. That's dope.
Thank you. Just know that, well, I had to learn, because, you know, it wasn't like I had that. So I had to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Have relationships with my kid, you know, treat my wife good and all that. You know, I had to, you know, learn from what didn't happen in my life. You know, is, you know, you can follow the process of, you know, keeping stuff going, or you can actually learn from what wasn't in your life. Basically, you know, you learn from what not to do.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, you take that approach, and that's basically what I did. I took that approach, and, you know, I tried. That's basically what I can do. That's all I can do is try.
Yeah, put try in
some kind of effort.
Yeah.
Instead of just not doing it at all.
Nah, man, that's dope. Like, you're not lazy with it or nothing, man. That's really dope, bro. And I feel like I should personally tell you, like, when it comes on that side, because the rest of the shit I don't really fuck with. Like, you're not that great of an individual. You're a cool person. You have okay conversations every now and then whenever you feel like it. Frankly, I like you better when you're drunk. Drunk Rob Lowe is a better Rob Lowe for me. But Dad Rob Lowe is the person that, like, I can really, like, look at Dad Rob Lowe and be like, you know what? I need to take some notes. Let me watch this.
I just really love how you really just fucking insulted me, though.
Oh, yeah. Nah, man, you my brother. Of course I'm going to insult you. Of course I'm going to do that.
You just insulted me and, like, that's cool.
Of course I'm going to do that. But
that works.
But at the same time, I'm bigging you up, man, so appreciate that part of it. Don't look at the negative of it. Look at the positive. I'm bigging you up right now. Yes, I'm gonna tell you that you ain't shit because you ain't shit. But I'm also tell you that you're a great fucking dad, and I look up to that. And I hope that I can be, you know, amongst the ranks of great fathers like that, man. That's dope. That's some good shit.
Okay. Well, let's just get off of me. Your turn.
I covered. I covered the fashion show. I covered the fashion show. Last week or so. It was dope. A lot of models. A lot of different talented people. A lot of performers. It was cool. It was a real cool experience. And I think that's going to be what I do more of, that people are paying attention to that kind of thing rather than me doing just, like, rather than my, like, you know, my interviews and everything. Like, people like that. But when I go out and, you know, cover events and, you know, interview people out there, do like, you know, pop-up interviews and do like some live stuff. And people are gravitating to that. I'm getting calls from, you know, like in Atlanta. It, like, people are really gravitating to that. So I'm thinking that's going to be something that I do a little more often. But the fashion show was dope. A lot of beautiful ladies, a lot of that. My girl didn't go. She didn't want to go. So I was able to look for an extra second.
Oh.
Yeah, I was able
to. Well, just so long as you looked. And
yeah,
no.
I was just able to, like, you know, look and peep things out for an extra second longer.
That's good.
But, I mean, overall, it was dope.
Do that rubbernecking?
Oh, yeah. No, not even rubbernecking. No, I didn't. See, that's the thing. See, you can't look. You can't turn around and look back. You just got to examine it while it's there. Because you never know who your girl told to go when and didn't tell you that she going to be there. You never really know for real. So you just got to play it cool. You know what I'm saying? You just got to. I mean, shucks. One of the models could have been a friend. And I could have been, you know, turned around. And, ooh, girl, he done turned around and almost broke his neck looking at that bitch. So I ain't even.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's smart. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I'm not participating in none of that, man. I told you I'd be watching, Rob. I see you and I'd be watching, man.
Well, that's good. You keep watching. Take notes. You keep doing that.
But that was a pretty dope experience. It was something different. I mean, I've been to fashion shows before, but actually seeing the behind the scenes and the inner workings of the fashion show and like how
it's
much
totally different,
yeah,
huh?
How much work goes into it and how much, you know, preparation and running around and seeing the models, them looking, you know, they ready, but them looking nervous and not knowing how things are going to turn out and seeing the designers and they're nervous and just seeing that side of it. It's it made me feel better about what I do.
What, nothing? Just look?
What? Nah, I'm talking about. And that's why you not shit. That's why you not shit to me. But it's like, you know, when you're on the other, like when you're on the other side of everything and you're like, you're on the outside looking in, like they make it look easy or they're able to shake off the jitters with just enough time that, you know, when they're in the face of the public, it looks seamless. It looks easy. And when, you know, when I look at myself and the things that I struggle with, you know, and I look at someone else and it looks effortless. It makes me feel better to know, okay, other people have things to overcome as well. It's not just me. I'm not the only one that's like, I'm not falling behind. Because I probably make it look easy to somebody else.
Of course. Like people say, I make certain things look easy. You know, like my good looks, you know. Yes, I just wake up and, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I just make it look easy.
Brush,
you know, it. Not everybody can do it like me.
Brush your little hair and, you know, comb your teeth.
Yeah, you know. Can't everybody do it like me. What we got next on the list?
You want to do a man-to-man?
Nope.
Don't worry. I'm not going to do the same one.
All right, come on.
All right, so.
Do you hear this swing in the background?
I can hear the music. And I hear her cooing. She's cooing.
All right, hold on. Let me finish feeding her.
I mean, it's all good. We do this from the crib, man. I ain't tripping. Fuck that professional shit. I it took me a while to really get that in my head. But, dog. Fuck that professional shit. We don't have a $1 million studio. We don't have a network budget. We don't have, you know what I'm saying, like this and that, like all these outlets, and we can't just fuck that Hollywood shit, man. We two niggas. We two young black men getting it out the mud.
I know,
but
I still want it to be, you know, the best quality as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Even
I mean,
we don't have that, so.
It's not taken away from it. I feel like it's not taken away from it. I mean, if anything, shit, they can see how great of a dad you're being. You're recording a podcast. You're recording a podcast raising your daughter.
Okay, fine. Then you being a fucking little prick right now.
How? Nah, you being a real, you a real nigga. You a real nigga.
Read the email.
All right, man. So, man to man. What's some of the best ways? Wait, okay, cause they worded this weird.
Cause black people can't type.
Yeah. Hey, we're not gonna do our people like that. Black people can type. They just can't read, write arithmetic. They can type.
Just no, they can't.
Weird. Weird sentence structures.
They can only type with their thumbs or type with their
index fingers.
Yep.
All right. So, man to man, what are some of the best ways or tactics you use to stay balanced and organized in life, such as work, side gigs, family, relationships, fun, alone time? Yeah, I agree. Schedule. You got to map all that shit out. You got to put that.
I'm gonna come back to it. Let me get finished beat up, and I'm actually answer it right. I can't. Right. I know I can't answer that. Like that. God damn.
Look,
I be seeing why people be going off on Twitter. You ask questions.
All right, look, man. Number one.
Wait, hold on.
You gonna answer yours when you finish. Let me answer.
No, let me walk outside so all okay. This shit is not in it. That's all what right, I'm saying. Right.
Okay, I got you now. All right, I got you.
Oh, you think you slick, huh? Think about it, baby. You may be my child, so you may be an asshole, but one thing you have to remember, who is the biggest asshole?
King asshole right there.
I'm the asshole. I'm the daddy. So guess what? At the end of the day, I will always win. You will never be a bigger asshole than me.
Wait, your daughter's the asshole?
Hell yeah. She started fucking sucking a goddamn bottle and just started staring at me. I said, okay. All right, come on.
It's funny because Logan's the humble one. I thought he was going to turn out to be the asshole. Logan's the chill one.
No, that nigga is not. That's just what the fuck y'all see. That nigga is
what?
An asshole as
He's
well.
A phony?
A great big fucking phony.
What? I thought Logan was the chill one.
That nigga far from chill. That nigga that's so cutthroat.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. All right. Do I need to read the question again, or you good?
Go ahead.
What, answer it or read the question again?
Answer it.
Okay, so, yeah, just like Rob said, number one, you got to make a schedule, man. You gotta be able to map everything out, especially if you have a very busy life. You have to be able to map everything out by, like, down to the second minute, hour. Like, you gotta really calculate your time, because number one, time is money. So any second that you waste doing something else, not necessarily saying waste, because you probably want to, you know, spend time with your family and stuff like that, and that's not necessarily a waste of time, but if you're overindulging in one thing, then you're going to miss out on something else. So just number one, like, communication. Well, number one is making a schedule. Number two is communicating that schedule, because, I mean, some people have, like, relationships. Like me, my girl, our schedule is kind of, you know, off and on. Like, I do a whole bunch of stuff. So I have to tell her, like, look, from this time to this time, I'm going to be doing this. From this time to this time, I'm going to be doing this. From this time to this time, I'm going to be with you. This is your time right here. And just that's really it. Just number one, scheduling, mapping everything out, and number two, communicating that, because if you don't, you know, that's an interference that you know what I'm saying, like, if I don't relay that message to my girl or to my mom, or if I don't relay a message to Rob, like, yo, we're gonna do the podcast at this time to this time, then it's just like, you know, I'll wake up at 10, or I really wake up at 5-6, so I wake up at 5 or 6 and Rob will hit me up at like 7, like, okay, let's record. And it's like, well, from the moment I woke up to about 10, I was planning on, like, editing some footage. So, you know, me not communicating that, it'll fuck up the other side of the schedule. It'll fuck up other items on the schedule. Rob, what you think?
Nah, you have to, you, only way that you can operate in life literally right and with everything that you want to do is you have to set a schedule, and you have to follow the time frames It's like, and you have to literally stick with it. You have to be very strict with it. It's like, you have to be more of a professional. You have to be like a real, you have to be like a real strict professional when it comes to time, like a busy person who literally, like, everybody see these people on TV or, you know what I'm saying, on TV shows, or you just see stuff like this, you know, I mean, movies, like somebody always walking around with somebody telling them that, like, hey, you got this to do at this time, so you need to stop what you're doing now and go do that. Like, literally, that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. So that means, like, you have to, like, you know, like, hey, you can't sleep in. You have to literally wake up. Like, you know, let's say you want to wake up at 7 a.m., you have to literally wake up at 7 a.m. And, you know, you got to do what you have to do between that time frame. You can't play around. You can't lollygag and all that. And, like, you have to set the amount of time for each thing that you want to do or accomplish for that day. And you have to literally do that within that time frame, you know. And, you know, if you need to reschedule, then you have to reschedule. But for me, man, my days go from 4:30 a.m. until whatever time I decide to go to sleep. And, like, literally, I have stuff to do from the time I wake up mm-hmm. until the time I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I don't do it for that day, I move it back. You know, I procrastinate and I move it back to the next day.
That's what I was just going to say. That's if, but that's that if makes, you get to everything.
Yeah, but that makes the next day even harder because I can't keep pushing something back. Or, like, you know, yes, you could reschedule, do stuff like that, but some stuff is very important and need to get done. Like, so I have to do 4 mixes, which basically is 2 hours worth of mixing, and I have to get that done by Wednesday. I have, like, literally Wednesdays is literally my busiest day, and, like, I literally have to, and I have to do my mixes from 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock. And if I don't do that, my whole day is screwed. So that means, like, I have a set time only scheduled just for doing all my DJ mixes for the week and call it a day. Because I can't do an hour on this day, then come back another hour on that day, because usually Thursdays and Fridays is my days to literally, like, you know, usually I have an event to DJ. So I can't DJ on Thursday. I can't do my other mix on Thursday that's due for Friday. So that means I literally got to get it out of the way just between that time frame of 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And, like, literally, I just have to literally stick with that schedule no matter what goes on. Like, no matter what, like, it has to get done. Like, it has to.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is a big part of it, too, is when you know something has a specific deadline. Or if something comes up and it's like, okay, well, this assignment isn't due. This project isn't due. I don't have to turn this in until a month from now. Don't wait until a week from that month. Go ahead and knock that shit out then, because you never know what's going to come out the blue. You never know what's going to happen, like, the day before. Or you never know, like, shit, your computer might fucking blow the fuck up. And, you know what I'm saying? You waited a week before when you could have been knocked out and knocked out a task off your list. You waited a week before, your computer blow the fuck up, and then now you know what I'm saying? You looking dumb. You got your thumb up your ass, and you're confused.
Mm-hmm.
You could prevent all that just by...
Yeah, you can prevent a lot just by having set time, set away, and...
Not procrastinating.
Yeah, like, I wake up 4:30. I got clients to work out, not work out. Like, I got to get home, get my little boy dressed. After I get him dressed, then I got to deal with my 5-month-old, feed her, change her, do whatever that we going to do, play around. Then I got to study, take a lunch break, go back to studying, make out workout plans, get my little boy from school from 2. When he come home from school, spend time with him, do some school work, play with him, stuff like that. Then once I got to stop that, I gotta cook, clean up before my wife come home. She come home, I got another client that I gotta work that person out 5-6 o'clock. Then once that get finished, now I got total family time with me, my wife, and my kids, or just me and my wife. And it's like, that's my time frame. You know, my little boy goes to sleep at 7, so we may actually get at least 30 minutes, maybe to an hour by ourselves before she goes to bed. And so basically I get like another hour, 2 hours to do something else there. Like, I need to do like fold clothes or like, you know, clean up the bathroom or something like that. So either way it go, like, I still have a set time frame and schedule that, like, I have to follow. And, like, that's the best thing to do, and you have to stick with it. Like, and then, plus, you stop so much drama. Like, you stop so much drama in your life. And, like, you, like, I don't know, you could have a kid, you could have a little girlfriend, but you have to make time. Now, you know, you have to find a way to start making time in your schedule. Because a lot of times we just goofing off, ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you gotta make time for everything. You got to make time to yourself as well. You got to make time if you have a significant other or kids. You got to make time for that. So, you know, you got to make valuable time for all this stuff like that. And if you don't, then trust me, it would not be successful like you think it would. You will actually have more headaches more than ease.
Yeah, in a nutshell. So I think that's it.
Cool.
I think that's it. So, man, shucks. Until next time, people, I guess I'm going to sign off like I always sign off, man. Do all the things that your haters can't do with all the people they can't peep at all the places they can't place themselves. And until next time, that's all, folks. Rob.
Yeah, I ain't got none of that stuff, man. Y'all be easy.
Man, appreciate you for starting this with me. This is episode one. This is the first of many. We're going to keep this going. Man, I appreciate you for starting this journey with me. It's been a long time to get to this point that we're at now, and let's keep it going, man. I appreciate you.
No problem, dude.
My brother. Talk to you next week, man.
All right.
All right, man. Be blessed.